Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day. It's not really a start. I guess you've probably been at it for a while as we get a little bit closer to lunchtime. 20 years ago today, home run throwback, Music City Miracle, whatever you want to call it, it happened right here in our city. And our next guest was right in the middle of all that, was right in the thick of it. Former Titans head coach Jeff Fisher is on the line with us. Jeff, how you doing? Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. This
is good timing here.
I was going to say.
Coming out of the canyon.
I was going to say, yeah. Is the timing any better?
I got on my phone and coming out of the canyon, heading to the Bozeman Airport, coming back to Nashville. Coming to root on the second surge of the Preds.
Were you out doing some things, outdoorsy things?
Yeah, I could have been. Yeah. just for the last few days. So, yeah. So, we're pretty much wrapping that stuff up here. So, but it's all good. This is great timing.
It is.
So, 20 years ago.
Can you believe
today,
that?
Wow. Yeah. Now, you guys know what all the Buffalo Bills fans refer to it as. We call it the home run throwback.
Yeah.
Music City Miracle. They call it the home run throw forward.
Not surprised, right? Not surprised at all.
Right. To this day, yeah.
In fact, if it wasn't for, 2 years ago when they played Jacksonville, and then, of course, they got in this year, that was, as you know, the first time they had been in the playoffs since that game. Hard to believe.
Oh, I know. Yeah, and have not won one yet.
That's correct.
I mean, I know we're not getting together here to talk about what happened last weekend in the Bills, but that's a good football team, and they're going to win some games. I really like the way that they're building that team, and I think they're once their young quarterback starts to figure it out, because obviously he short-circuited there, I think, with about 2 minutes left in regulation. Or things might have been different, but they got a good program.
Titans, Ravens, Titans, Steelers, Titans, Ravens. You know, Jeff, it did not get any bigger for you and your players. It did not get any bigger for the fans and the media. I mean, everything stopped those weeks when those teams were coming to town, and certainly the history between the Titans and Ravens. It's a history. If you've been in this market for a while, you'll never forget. Let's start with that day of January 8th, 2000. And just what are your memories sitting here? It's hard to believe 20 years later, but we all know Buffalo kicks the field goal to take the lead, and I'll let you kind of take it from there.
Well, I'm going to backtrack a little bit,
okay.
give the listeners some history. You know, we had for years had what we refer to as our own Stanford Cal team. And everybody remembers that play, Stanford Cal and the band and all that stuff. So we took the best athletes, left-handed, right-handed guys, and just tried to keep the play alive. And we rehearsed that and played around with it every Saturday during the regular season for years. And then Coach Lowry came to me before the 99 season and says, hey, let's get some method to this madness. And he referred to a play that had taken place back in the 60s between a couple colleges in Texas. I can't remember offhand. Might have been Texas A&M. But nonetheless, we looked at it. I saw it, and we installed it. And we actually practiced it every Saturday. And so, you know, there's familiarity. There was a plan. Everybody knew what was going on. And so with that in mind, fast forward to 20 years ago today, the ball goes through the uprights. Allen walks up to me. We simultaneously say Music City or home run throwback, rather. So I'm looking for Derek Mason because he's the deep guy, and I can't find Derek. The trainer tells me that Derek is somewhere next week. He's got a concussion.
Right.
And then I said, okay, backup is Anthony Dorsett. Where's AD? And Anthony Dorsett was cramping. So now we're at a loss. We're down to our third guy. For all intents and purposes, he's not practiced. And so I grab Dice and I say, hey, Kevin. He looks at me with that smile on his face that, you know, we all recognize. And he goes, yeah, coach. I said, hey, home run throwback. Every Saturday we practice it. You know what to do? He goes, coach, I didn't pay attention. I go, okay. So now we're coaching him on the sideline. Just as fast as we can. I go, look, Kevin, hey, whatever happens, I don't know where the ball is going, but you need to stay 10 yards behind Frank outside these numbers. And he looked at me. I go, the numbers, the 10, the 20, the 30. Oh, okay. So stay outside the numbers and just push up the field, but stay 10 yards behind Frank. And he goes, all right, I got you, coach. So then I see the ball come off the tee. That was the one kick that I don't think we ever rehearsed. In practice on Saturdays, we would kick it to every single guy on the ground, deep, hard squibs, and, you know, and everybody's job. They knew they had to get it to Frank. And Lowe, being a smart guy, he knew he wasn't going to wave fair catch. He's going to get rid of it as fast as he could, and he did so. And then the rest is history.
Were you a little nervous, though, Lorenzo Neal had the ball?
No, I'm standing – no, when I saw when I'm watching from my vantage point, I saw the far official, Byron Boston, of all people, who was really a great official, had a great career. I saw him point backwards, which means he's ruled at a lateral on the field. So then I see Kevin come up with the ball, and I look to my left briefly, and I remember saying, get what you can, get what you can, get out of bounds. We can get this done with a field goal. And then you continue to pan and go, oh, my gosh, score, Kevin, score. So he did. So what was never discussed is, and you guys can – do the math, is that as this thing has gone to replay review, at that point I knew it was going to come back. I knew it was going to be good. The ruling on the field is going to stand. I've got to go for two. And my thought was at that point, once this thing is announced, there's no way this offense is going to line up and be able to execute a play. Plus, what are the odds of this happening twice in the same game? And so we just kicked the extra point. Well, I don't know if you guys remember the kickoff, but they pushed that ball up to midfield.
Yes, they did.
So I can tell you whose heart was in their throat. But it was such a great moment for the franchise and, you know, everybody associated with the organization in Nashville and all the stories. You know, you hear of all the people that claimed to have been there, there must have been 100,000 people in that stands that day, you know, and you got people saying they were there and you got people, traffic stopped at stoplights in Nashville and everybody's listening. And yeah, it was a crazy thing. Bud Adams, by the way, rest his soul, was in the elevator. Game was over in his mind. My father was there. He was in the men's room, like, what are you guys doing giving up, man? So anyway, it was a great thing. And you have to give Coach Lowry so much credit and all those players who knew what to do. And just, I mean, with precision, executed it, and then the other side, they, you know, that wasn't a very well covered kick by them. Once they saw that ball go to Frank, they all crossed over, and we got angles on everybody, and it was escorted up the sideline.
Is that the loudest you've ever heard a stadium when Dyson went in?
Yeah, I would have to say so. I mean, it might have been a little bit louder in the locker room once we got the whole team in there. I remember someone jumping on my back. It was Tim McGraw. You know, just everybody was just going nuts in the locker room. So, and that really, I mean, that was, who knows what would have happened, had that game ended differently. But I think that was the momentum that just propelled us, you know, the rest of the way through the playoffs.
Jeff Fisher is with us. And, Jeff, with the Titans playing the Ravens and the Ravens being the one seed, it's so interesting with the Titans coming in with some momentum. And we had Trent Dilfer on the show yesterday, and I still have so many memories of the Music City Miracle, but the game that I always, and I don't know if I've ever asked you about it, but it's got to go without saying, the most frustrating loss that you've had was the loss to Trent Dilfer and that Ravens team the next year that went on and won the whole thing. Because when you look at the stats, it's just hard to win a game where you get, what, I think they had 5 first downs the whole game. You guys blocked a couple of kicks, but it just, so many things. I mean, if you played that game 10 times, I think you probably win 9, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, we've talked about this, I know. But this was a better team than we had the year before. And, you know, our job as that season was winding down, the difficulty was keeping them focused, you know, because everybody wanted to get back. And so, you know, the hardest job we had coaching was the last couple of weeks. And so, you know, we got a week off. And you know, Baltimore's playing, and, you know, we're recovering and preparing and rested and ready to go. And then, I don't know, did Trent tell you how many first downs he had in the second half? So I don't think he had one.
And he said you guys knew all of the plays that they were running.
About as many first downs Lipscomb had against CPA this year. But, he, you know, the both those punts were blocked, and both of them went sideways out of bounds. And so you block a punt, you usually scoop and score, but we just did not get a bounce. And then, you know, Steve throws a basic check down to Eddie, and the ball bounces off his shoulders pad, and Ray happens to be there, and Ray puts it in the end zone. So, you know, it was very, very frustrating for us because, you know, we thought that this was really going to be our year after what we had done the year before. But nonetheless, give them credit. You know, I'll go back early in the year. We faced the Giants that year early, and it was one of those warm September afternoons. And, you know, I think we onside kicked or did something to get the ball back to finish their defense. I think we beat the Giants 28-7. And Baltimore meets the Giants in the Super Bowl and defeats the Giants and becomes world champions after defeating us. I mean, I think the road got easy after Baltimore, you know, was on the winning end of that game there in Nashville. But nonetheless, great matchups. You know, I was thinking about this just watching the game and the great job that, you know, that Mike has done and that staff and the players have done to get to this point, and then watching the Big Back take it over. You know, it was just kind of reminiscent of the old days and Eddie and how you can control a game and go on the road and win. And just really good to see that winning formula that they put together. And, you know, I like their chances. But, you know, obviously, you know, they got their work cut out for them defensively with this dynamic offense. But I like what the formula, we like what they're doing. I know everybody does. And, you know, the only thing that they're missing is Gary Anderson.
Yes.
You remember we went back a couple of years later and Gary hit that last second field goal and to win, and we beat them in the playoffs. And that's the thing that if I have any concerns is that they address that and can they get that fixed, because you're going to need to kick the ball through those two yellow poles in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wouldn't doubt that Gary Anderson today could probably be good from 35 and in, don't you think? Maybe 40.
The thing about Gary – you know, the funny thing about Gary having him there, a couple years, was that, you know, if Gary kicked an extra point, that ball just barely went over the crossbar.
Right.
If he kicked a 35-yard field goal, it barely went over the crossbar. And if he hit one from 50, it barely went over the crossbar. I mean, he just knew how much to put on it, and his job was just to get it in that, you know, in that rectangle. So, and he did. I mean, he was great. So. You know, I hope for the Titans' sake that it does come down to a field goal and they kick it and win this weekend.
Put your defensive coordinator's hat on for a minute. What Baltimore does is pretty unique. How would you go about? What are the basic concepts that you have to do to try to slow them down?
I would work on red zone defense all week because they're going to get to the red zone eventually, probably quicker than most people expected. And kind of like when we were playing Peyton in the Colts, you know, you just say, look, I mean, it's going to be, do we onside kick every snap, every time we score? Yeah, we did. We did that once, but spend your time in the red zone and make them kick field goals. And, but no, there's a lot more to that than people think. I mean, it's a team defense. It's being able to do a combination of things. You're not going to confuse the young quarterback, I don't think, but what you got to do is flatten him out and get him on the boundary and just chase him out of bounds. And, you know, what it's going to require is going to require a holding penalty. It's going to require, a false start or a second long, an incomplete pass and a big play and just get the ball back. I mean, if they can even, you know, be in that 35-40% range on third down, then, you know, I like their chances. And then, of course, the biggest thing, I mean, the best way to beat a talented offense like that, unique with its uniqueness, is with your running back, and just keep them on the sideline.
Jeff Fisher is with us, former Titans coach, and I go back and look at the Ravens in the days with you guys. Is that was the first true rival for the Titans? I know they had the Steelers, but that go back to the Oilers days. But I felt like the Ravens were the first true rival for the Titans. And you and Brian Billick had some battles as head coaches. What was that whole dynamic like of going up against him back in those days?
Well, it was different, you know. I mean, that stuff, even during the off season, there was chatter, and, you know, I think things really escalated during our week off in the 2000, after the 2000 season, prior to the game we talked about. You know, these guys dressed up, the whole defense dressed up in camo, and, you know, after the game, and it was going to be a war and a battle coming back to Nashville. And, you know, we had all this stuff going on between Ray and Eddie, who now, by the way, are best friends. But it was just, you know, it was challenging. You know, we just tried to, you know, downplay everything and not get caught up in that. You know what you do, and I pointed out to the team with respect to Eddie regarding, you know, Ray Lewis, you know, if you spend all week thinking about it and getting caught up in all that chatter, you're just wasting energy. You're burning calories and wasting energy. You're going to be tired by the end of the week. Just take it one day at a time and, you know, and do the best you can, practice, have fun, and then just go, you know, trust your teammates and go play. But, you know, we tried not to get caught up in it. And, you know, to this day, I'd say they did a little bit more talking than we did.
You obviously have made tough decisions as a head coach over the years, and I don't envy you because, you know, whether to go for it on a fourth down or go for two or making personnel change. But I feel like anytime a coach has to make a quarterback change, that is probably one of the toughest decisions that they'll make. Mike Vrabel did it this year. He went from Marcus Mariota to Ryan Tannehill. How hard is that as the head coach to be able to make that move?
Well, it's not easy. You know, you're taking the keys away from somebody and give them to another guy. And, you know, Ron's excited and Marcus is not. Marcus understands. And I think Marcus understands. You know, keep in mind, what's in the back of Marcus's mind is, well, he took them to playoffs, you know, 2 years ago or a year before and beat Kansas City down by 21 at halftime. So, you know, something went wrong. Is it, you know, is it injuries? Is it four or five different coordinators in 5 years? Don't know. But the fact of the matter is that the staff made the change. It worked. And, you know, you just can't look back. And, you know, we like the little packages that you see with Marcus here and there, keeping him engaged and keeping him involved, because Marcus knows he's a play away from going back in. Just look at Philadelphia over the last 2 years.
Yep, no doubt. By the way, Jeff, Trendell Fertitta, you brought up his success or lack of in the second half. He blamed it on Greg Williams still in the playbook. He said he knew all the plays.
That's a compliment. the Lipscomb CPA stuff? Because I don't think CPA's working out of Greg Williams' playbook right now.
We'll have to get him to have a rebuttal the next time we have him on about that one. Hey, thanks.
Why don't you have us both on? Both come on. Talk some old times.
That would be fun. Hey, safe travels back. Thanks for doing this as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, that is Jeff Fisher, and that was really good stuff. Really good stories. And you know awesome. What? If he's willing to do it and Trent's willing to do
Let's
it.
Let's get him in studio.
We will absolutely do that.
That'd be fantastic.
On this show. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.